Hi, my name is Adina Schmimann, Director of the OU Women's Initiative. Join me in supporting the programming you love at ou.org/women23. It's your donation that helps to create Torah, leadership, and community engagement programs. Programs that you love, Tori Mecha Nachyomi, Tori Mecha Parsha, Rosh Chodesh Lunch and Learn, Counting Towards Sinai, Ideas and Inspiration for the Chagim, the Max and Yeti Manderer, Aleihem HaShalom Elite Virtual Beit Midrash, Mikvah Attendant Professional Development, Rebbetzin Kala Teacher Kirv and Chinuch Professional Fellowship and Conference, the Challenge Grant Initiative to support community programming, the Art of Speaking course, Lay Leadership Conference, and support. Your gift has worldwide reach as together we build a community of engagement and inspiration together. To support these programs, go to ou.org/women23. Thank you for being part of the OU Women's Initiative community. And now for today's presentation.
Welcome to Torat Imecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Amy Horowitz, and this week we begin our exploration of the Parshiot of Sefer Bamidbar. Bamidbar is an action-packed Sefer that follows Am Yisrael through their journey in the wilderness as they make their way towards Eretz Yisrael and the fulfillment of the ancient promise Hashem made to Avraham. Sefer Bamidbar opens on a note of optimism, with the Jewish people preparing to leave their encampment at Har Sinai and enter their promised homeland as a nation, with the Torah's laws and obligations and the Mishkan they have built and readied for travel. Unfortunately, that optimism will prove to be misplaced, and the Sefer will take us through the trials and tribulations of a journey that takes 39 years longer than expected. At the Sefer's close, B'nai Yisrael will once again be poised to enter the land of Israel, this time having learned the hard lessons of the Midbar. So let's begin our journey with this week's Parsha, Parshat Bamidbar. The Parsha opens with a census and then focuses on the arrangement of the Jewish camp around the Mishkan, the organization of the tribes on all sides, and the flags that represented each individual tribe and grouping of tribes. The Jewish people are counted a total of 5 times in the Torah, but there's something strange about the census that takes place at the beginning of our Parsha. Each of the other 4 times we are counted, there's a specific need or reason for the counting, whether it's to establish a baseline, or to see how much we've grown, or to account for a diminished number of people following a major plague or punishment. Our census at the beginning of Parshat Bamidbar doesn't seem to be triggered by any such need. A previous census was conducted only 7 months earlier after the Chet HaEgel and its ensuing punishment, and no major events or changes have happened since that time. So what's the purpose of this census in our Parsha? Of course, one way to answer this question is to remind ourselves of Rashi's famous statement that Hashem counts us because he loves us. The same way that someone would take out a precious collection and lovingly review each piece one by one, Hashem counts us when he feels the love and the urge to do so. In other words, there doesn't really need to be a good reason for a census, and so Rashi suggests that the census in our Parsha takes place for no good reason other than Hashem's love. In contrast, Rashi's grandson, the Rashbam, offers a very specific and practical reason for the census here at the beginning of the Parsha. Since B'nai Yisrael were getting ready to leave Har Sinai and thought they'd be entering Israel very shortly thereafter, they had to count their troops and organize into battalions to get ready for war. So perhaps there was a very specific reason for the census, or perhaps there didn't need to be a reason at all. I think we can approach answering our question in another way, too. Looking at the instructions given to Moshe at the beginning of our Parsha, Se'u et Rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachotam l'veit avotam b'mispar shemot kol zachar l'gulgulotam. Moshe is commanded to count the whole Eidah, the whole congregation, then the families, then the households, and then the individuals. Not every census operates this way. In fact, a later census towards the end of the Sefer only mentions the counting of families. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, the great 19th century German rabbi and scholar, suggests that this census is unique because it plays a unique role in the timeline of the Torah. We have just spent a year at Har Sinai, establishing our nationhood under the umbrella of Torah values and mitzvot. Our experience at Har Sinai, ke'ish echad b'lev echad, represented a degree of unity that we hadn't ever experienced before. And here we are, one nation, ready to leave Har Sinai, the birthplace of our nationhood, and travel towards the one missing piece, a national homeland. Rav Hirsch explains that the fact that at this exact moment we are counted as both an Eidah and by tribes, families, households, and individually teaches us the lesson that while we're reveling in our unity, not only is the klal important, but the distinction of each individual remains important as well. This is the lesson Hashem wants us to learn as we leave Har Sinai, the essential balance between being an individual and the member of a community. As a community unified, we are immeasurably great, but that community is made up of precious individuals, each of whom can be distinctly counted and accounted for. And therefore, the first action item after the census is complete is the organization of the camp. One camp centered around the Mishkan with tribes grouped together, three per side. This is literally a picture of unity. But as part of this organized structure, each tribe was going to carry a flag that represented its unique individual nature. Again, the lesson here is that we are a community unified around the heart of our camp, the Mishkan, but we're also individuals waving our individual banners and flags. What were these flags that each tribe flew? Rashi explains that each flag was made of a different colored cloth. No two colors were alike, and their colors were based on the color of their tribe's stone in the Choshen. The Ramban adds that each flag had a symbol on it, and the symbols of each corresponded to the history of that tribe, their backstory, and or the brachos given to them by Yaakov or later by Moshe. Several years ago, the school where I teach was moving to a brand new building, and I was asked to participate in a brainstorming session for a series of stained glass windows that were going to decorate our new base medrash. The artisan who created the finished windows was not Jewish, but was determined to design windows, one for each of the 12 tribes, that were as authentic as possible. We met a few times to learn and brainstorm together, and we made lists after lists of symbols and stories that were associated with each of the tribes. Of course, one of our areas of research was the flags from our Parsha and the Midrashic accounts of which symbol adorned each one. This, I explained to the artisan, was each tribe's own self-representation. So what better source than this to look at when designing the windows? Interestingly, the Netziv, another 19th century Torah giant and Rosh Yeshiva of the Velazhen Yeshiva, explains that not only did each tribe carry a flag, but each family within each tribe carried a miniature version of the tribal flag with their family's unique letter on it to distinguish them from the other families of the tribe. And not only did the tribes and families carry flags, but each grouping of three tribes, one side of the camp, carried banners to represent the group also. The Medrash explains that these banners had three letters on them, and the letters on each banner corresponded to the letters in the names of the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The first letter of each name on one banner, the second letter of each name on a second banner, the third letter of each name on a third banner, and the fourth letter of each name on the final banner. And each group of letters carried an encoded message to the entire nation that their ideological mission should continue the mission of the Avos to eradicate Avodah Zarah and spread the belief in one God. So now let's try to picture the encampment with the Mishkan at the center, surrounded by the camp of the Levium, and then the 12 other tribes on the outside ring, really a square, three to each side. Each side carried a banner, each of the three tribes on each side carried a flag, and each family within each tribe waved flags as well. This is a lot of flags, which sounds festive and colorful, but what really was the point? Why are these flags described in such great detail, and why are they so important to the story? When I teach my high school students, I often find myself distinguishing for them between what we want to know about a given Torah story or personality and what we need to know. I find myself always telling them that whatever is in the Torah itself is in the category of need to know. So what does the Torah need us to know and understand about these flags? The Medrash explains that when Am Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, we saw legions of angels, and these angels were holding flags. And when the Jews saw the angels holding flags, they desired flags as well. God says, "You want flags? I will fulfill your request." Therefore, God tells Moshe to make flags for the people, just like they requested. The Kli Yakar, a 16th to early 17th century commentator who served as the rabbi of the community of Prague at the end of his life, wonders why we wanted these flags so badly. He explains that we wanted the flags to declare our victory in battle. But how could we be so sure, before we'd even ever fought in any battles, that we'd be victorious and triumphant? Explains the Kli Yakar, we were certain we'd be victorious because that's what it means to have God in the center of your camp. In other words, we could confidently wave our flags as a declaration of our identity, a people whose central focus, both physically in the form of the Mishkan and ideologically in our belief system, is the presence of God in our midst. It was this core principle that we desperately desired to announce as we journeyed and camped in the Midbar. This core principle is what unified us, strengthened us, and gave us the immeasurable power mentioned by the Navi Hosea. V'haya mispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayam asher lo yimad v'lo yisaper. The number of people of Israel shall be like that of the sands of the sea, which cannot be measured or counted. Avraham was given two brachot to represent the growth of the future Jewish nation. We were compared to both stars and to sand. The biggest difference between stars and sand is that stars can be individually measured and accounted for, while each grain of sand is simply part of the whole beach, impossible to measure one by one. So the message of sand, as echoed by Hosea, reminds us that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. When we unify around our core belief in Hashem, we're infinitely stronger and greater. However, we also can't lose sight of the unique character of each individual and what each person contributes to the whole that cannot be substituted or replaced by anyone else. And so we carried flags, lots of them, each one acknowledging a unified belief in Hashem at our center, while still proclaiming the individuality of the flag bearer, a more personal relationship with Hashem that calls upon each family and tribe's special personality and style. This balance is one we still seek to achieve in our own personal relationship with Hashem and as members of our individual communities and Am Yisrael at large. And maybe that explains why every day towards the end of Shacharis we say Tehillim Perek Chaf, which contains the following pasuk: Niranana bishuatecha uveshem Elokeinu nidgol, yimaleh Hashem kol mishalotecha. We shout for joy and victory, arrayed by flags in the name of our God. May Hashem fulfill your every wish. We continue to declare our desire to wave a flag that announces our personal character, as well as our identity, who we are, and what we stand for to this day, which is a nation with God at the center of our lives, and a mission to carry that banner of God wherever we journey and camp. Each of our relationships with Hashem is personal and unique, and yet an essential part of the fabric of our families, communities, and people. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for learning Parshat Bamidbar with the OU Women's Initiative.